lesson is from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offerings and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 25 responsively. To you, O Lord, lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you.
Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame.
Let the treacherous be disappointed in their schemes.
Show me your ways, O Lord.
And teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love.
For they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions.
Remember me according to your love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Gracious and upright is the Lord.
Therefore he teaches sinners his way.
He guides the humble in doing right.
And teaches his way to the lowly.
All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness.
To those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
For your name's sake, O Lord.
Forgive my sin, for it is great.
The second lesson is from James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to please rise and turn to page number 26 for the Lenten sentence.
Return to the Lord, for the Lord is near, and leave our sinful way. We'll return to the Lord while the chance is here, to bow our hearts and pray. O Lord, merciful God, hear us humbly obey. We will to the Lord while the Lord is near, and leave our sinful way, and leave our sinful way.
The Gospel written in the first chapter of St. Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We join as we share our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. So I have a question for you. Are we up and running? Are we up and running? That's the title of my sermon. Are we up and running? So it was 5 o'clock in the morning, the alarm went off, and the old guy reached over and shut it off. He wanted a few more snoozes. 5 minutes later, it went off again, and he did the same thing, a few more snoozes. It went off again, and this time his wife nudged him and said, "Hey, you got to get out of bed. Your alarm's gone off 3 times. He goes, "Oh, come on. I just need some rest." "Okay, you got 5 more minutes." Well, 5 more minutes went. And so
he woke up and he goes, you know, I don't know. She goes, well, you know, it's Sunday and you got to get to church. And he goes, well, they're not going to miss me. She finally said, you know, you're the pastor and you got a sermon to preach, so get out of bed. Huh? You know, we all have a tremendous responsibility, especially raising children, right? We got to get them up, right? And sometimes pastors, they got to do the same thing with their congregation, right? Sometimes they got to wake them up. This text is really about waking up. It's getting up, and it's about running. Now, Jesus, he was baptized by John in the Jordan, and I really like the description, right? The heavens are torn apart, and all of a sudden there's this big voice and says, you know, you are my son, my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. Can you imagine being there and hearing that? Wow. So have you ever compared your baptism to that of Jesus? You might go, I don't know if mine was all that special. But I'm here to tell you that it was special, so don't ever discount it. Don't ever discount it. That God has been working in your life, and what God was doing at that very time is he was counting you as a member of the church, and he was calling you to be one of his disciples. Now, when you and I were growing up as kids, we would love to play, right? Some played dolls, some played Barbies. Some, you know, they maybe it wasn't a guy thing, but they would dress up as cowboys and Indians. Or you thought you'd be a Minnesota Viking football player, right? Or maybe you'd be a famous basketball player. Remember those days when you'd just kind of play and you'd kind of dream? And they were really very important times, because you were kind of like wrestling with, well, what do I want to do with my life? And what does that future look like for me? And as you grow a little older, you realize, well, you can't do all those things, right? So finally, you got to settle down and you got to do something with your life. And we call that, when you finally realize you can't do all things, that you need to kind of center on something, we call that the feel of the call. Or you're being led. Or you're given a direction in your life. Steve Jobs, he made an interesting statement. He said, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I'm about to do today? Interesting, right? And I had heard that he was not a Christian until he was on his deathbed. And he finally realized the love of God. And we say, praise be to God for that. As you wrestled, maybe you thought you'd go into medicine, but you went and you took classes and you just realized you couldn't pass chemistry. And so you decided, well, maybe I'll be a teacher. Or you went into the technical school or a technical field and you just didn't want to be isolated, so you wanted to be maybe working with others, right? Or maybe you went into business, but you thought, I have more talents in the arts. And maybe you went into sales, but you really wanted to get into service. You see, there was a door for you, and it opened up. And somehow you were drawn to that door, and you finally walked out into that world with what you finally decided to do. And we have a churchy word for that. We call that vocation, right? Vocation. And vocation really isn't much, it's really not necessarily about happiness, but it's really about finding meaning in your life. I remember when I was ordained as a pastor, we were in First Lutheran Church in Manoma, Minnesota, and my hometown pastor, he got up front before we were ready to start. And he said to the congregation, well, it's great to have you here. because Doug has decided on a new job. And my internship pastor was right next to me, and he goes, "It's not a job, it's a calling." Right? There's a big difference. Because you see, a calling, there's a lot of tedium, and there's a lot of rote. There's a lot of stuff that you just got to do over and over again. And sometimes as you're doing those things, you're doing something that's even more transcendent than what you think, right? So I think of those kids wrestling with what they want to do with their life, and they finally decide, I'm going into medicine, or I'm going to be a teacher, a father, a mother, I'm going to work in the church. And we get into it, and then we can find ourselves being burnt out. Burnt out. Burnt out is usually we become tunnel visioned. We can't see the forest for the trees. Some people I know, when they go to the optometrist, they get glasses for nearsighted and farsightedness. They actually get lenses, contact lenses. Do you know those people? Any of you have that? Yeah, so they want to be able to see close and far, right? In burnout, we tend to only see those things that are close up. And we become so absorbed in the minute and the mundane. And it can happen if we're raising kids. You know, we get so focused on the daily frustrations of raising kids because of all the schedules, all the transporting, all the managing, and all the rest, that sometimes parents can forget what their real duty is, and that's to be parents, right? Shaping the character and making your son or daughter an adult. Yesterday, I was out visiting one of our elderly members. She lives in a nursing home. And she's in her 90s, and she bears several crosses because her health isn't all that good. And as we were visiting, she said to me, "You know, every day I pray for people and I look for an opportunity to make them happy." And then she shared a bunch of instances of where she reached out. Right? And I was just awestruck. She's in her 90s and she's still doing ministry. And it wasn't about her happiness, it was about other people's happiness. Right? So for me, that's a great lesson that God calls us wherever we're at and gives us opportunities right in front of our face. You know, every week when we gather for public worship, one important reason that we do it is that worship helps us to detangle from the trees so that we can see the forest, that we can see the bigger picture. Worship reacquaints us with both the larger picture, and it holds us and it helps us draw that picture of the larger picture that God was painting. Now, what's interesting, I talked about being called. And immediately after Jesus was baptized and came out of the water, he was led right out into the wilderness where he experienced trials and temptations, right? Jesus was tested by Satan. And I think the trials and temptations, in a sense, are a time of being refined and being pure. And I always think of a blacksmith, you know, they take a hunk of metal, they heat it up and then they pound it and they shape it. And I think that's what happens when we go through trials and temptations. We're being purified and we're being shaped. And that happens to all of us. We can find ourselves in the wilderness, those times of testing. And I really don't care who you are. You can be a student. You can be a parent. You can be in business. You can even be a pastor. It's always there. And that's why when people go to school, they often are sent out. And what they're sent out to do is student teaching or field work or internship or on-the-job training or even parenting, right? They've never written a book on parenting. It's always a test, though, isn't it? I think of my days at Luther Seminary. And Luther Seminary, when you come on campus, the seminary sits up on a hill. Where did you go to seminary? Yeah. Was it up on a hill?
No.
You were in the valley. Yeah. Well, Luther was up on a hill. It still is up on a hill. And I think that's kind of interesting because when you go there, you get all these students together and they wrestle with theology. They're learning all this stuff and they're kind of wrestling with, you know, when I get out there, I'm going to change the world. Right? And you know that pastor? I can do a much better job than that pastor, right? You kind of have those things. You got all these big ideas and this theology. So the question that kind of comes to you when you're there, is the church above or is it beyond the world or is it in the world? Is it above or is it in? I would say it's both. But you see, there's a problem with both directions. You see, if we stay in the world too long, we lose your way, right? We all came from a church body that got themselves in the world, and look what's happened to them today. Or you can stay too close in a sense to the seminary. And I had a professor say this, that sometimes you can become so heavenly minded that you are of no earthly good. Have you ever heard that phrase? As a theological student, I had some really excellent professors. And I remember of the day of ordination, we were at Central Lutheran. It's just a huge conglomerate congregation. And it was just packed. Is that where David went? Yeah. It was just packed. And I remember our guest preacher. I think the guy was 95 years old. And somebody had to go back there and actually help him out of the chair. And he kind of wobbled in like this. And I thought, oh boy, this is going to be good. I mean, not really good, you know what I mean? But I remember what he said to this day. He said this. He said, "The Lord our God said to us in Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and go down and take your journey.'" Wow. A particular note in our text is the fact that Jesus was tempted by Satan. In every call, there is present the opportunity to exploit, misuse, abuse. And sadly, in every calling, like I said, everybody's called, no matter what profession you're in, you can succumb to those temptations. I think of teachers and ministers and business people and doctors and social workers, psychotherapists, mothers, grandparents, and the ranks go on and on. I remember the Catholic Church, right, when they first come out with all the sexual stuff. I remember I had a lot of colleagues, they were just pointing fingers at the Catholic Church. Oh, the Catholic Church! And they, in a sense, they had a right to do that. But you know what they forgot to do? Look at themselves. Because guess what? Some of those people had the same issues. You see, we fool ourselves if we think the seeds of such are absent from us. But they're always there. That's why in the Lutheran faith, which I love, we always start with confession and forgiveness, right? One of the things that bothers me in our world today is I see a lot of churches out there. They have absolutely no confession and forgiveness. It's all about praising Jesus. And I'm going like, well, yeah, but I think you got to get your heart right first. So what we need to do is say, yep, I'm a sinner, and I'm giving it over to you, Jesus, to forgive my sins. Please lock it up, throw away the key, because I don't want to deal with it anymore. So I've talked about calling, I've talked about trial and temptation, and now I'm talking about commissioning. When John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, and he said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the good news. In other words, he was commissioning his disciples to start doing what we call service work. And in the economy of the kingdom of God, everyone is to be moved in the direction of being a runner, somebody that is in lockstep with Jesus and with God. You know, it's that famous verse that says, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And the old pithy preacher in Ecclesiastes says, you know, there's a time for everything. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. Worship and church are times when we educate ourselves. There are times when we develop that relationship with God, and we want to become very close to God, and we want to help him, have him equip us to be sent out into the world for service. In one of my churches, we always had this sign. We had this sign that was on the door as you were leaving, and you probably know what it means. It says, you are now entering the mission field. I like that. I like that. So when you guys leave here, I'm going to kick you out of here, and you're going to enter the mission field. So, are we up and running? Are we up and running? You know, the alternative is being down and crippled. I'd rather be up and running. Not only, though, does it beat the alternative, it is, more to the point, how God has wired each of us for his kingdom work. Everyone up and running with God, for God, through God, and to God, gathered and sent. Amen. We'll join our voices and we will sing In Christ Alone.
This gift of love
and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no schemes of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Father, we know we can thank you in times of trial, for you are with us. Let us remember it through tough times that our faith is refined in you as we grow more and more dependent on Christ. Grant us the wisdom to hear your word and be guided by your light. Help us to accept our wrongdoings and confess them when we fall short. Give us hope as we hear your gracious word of forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, we pray for our neighbors in the world, that we may learn to love them as you first loved us. Let us seek to understand their needs, so we may fulfill your call to servant leadership. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, so we may bring glory to your holy name as we serve others. Let us be courageous in difficult times, always keeping our eyes focused on you, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father God, we pray for those who have families near and far, but who are divided by thought, word, or deed. May you guide them to forgiveness just as you have first given us. Let us be mindful of Christ's journey to the cross during this Lenten season as a reminder of your steadfast love and forgiveness for your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, almighty healer, we pray for comfort, health, and protection for those who are sick and weak, who suffer and mourn, and who are spiritually lost and alone. We especially remember silently or aloud.
Dale.
Judy. Grant healing according to your will. And peace to all who are struggling. Bless all healthcare workers and case givers as they minister to those who to others with grace and patience. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.